everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me is Ashish. Ashish, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So welcome to the show. It's always exciting when we're talking big data. I love that. before we get started, why don't you take a second and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Ashish. I'm a program manager on Edge Insight team.
Cool. Now, I think you and I were talking before the show, and you know, we've talked big data, and we've had, you know, HD Insight and Hadoop and things like that, topics on the show before. You know, one of the things that you're here to talk about is, you know, how do we, from a big workload, how do we do monitoring and, you know, management of these workloads? Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, the building big data application is becoming easier and easier.
Yep.
But sort of a maintaining and monitoring and operating them at scale is becoming harder and harder and harder, given there are so many different technologies and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
And so the fundamental questions in front of our customers is, hey, once I build this big data pipeline, how do I monitor and operate it at scale, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a fundamental problem that we are looking at in terms of how do we solve.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot of work done within the HD Insight team, but it also means collaborating with our teams within Microsoft, such as the log analytics team that we have done in this case, you know, to make it as simple as possible for our customers.
Right. Okay, cool. So what are the things that we need to think about as we're doing that? Because you said at scale, right? And what are the things that we really need to be thinking about as we start diving into this?
Yeah, so one of the, you know, if you think about just from an HD Insight perspective, where people, you know, build application with respect to their big data, right? It could be application around processing data. It could be a NoSQL solution for your, you know, for getting your results very, very quickly. So in terms of the sort of a monitoring those clusters, there are a, you know, number of things that makes those clusters, right? And then application that runs on top of those clusters. So there is a base infrastructure such as, you know, the virtual machines. You know, there are metrics and logs around that. And then on top of that, there is, you know, the YAN as a operating system that's running. And so there's a lot of sort of metrics and logging around that, right? Within the YAN, there are several different applications that run, such as Hive or Spark or Uzi and MapReduce. And it has, all of those have their own logging and metrics and whatnot,
so
right?
How do we make this the overall very simple, right?
Right, and so that's the complexity within the cluster itself. And now you think about, you know, your big data solution that has, let's say, a Spark cluster in it, a Hive cluster in it, HBase cluster in it. You are doing real-time ingestion through Kafka.
Yeah.
And some of these clusters are transient in nature, right?
Yep.
So you spin them up, you run a job, and then you turn on the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one, your clusters are not stationary.
Mm-hmm.
You are running several different big data services on it, and they're across different space. And so how do you kind of think about monitoring all of that?
That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's jump in.
So before we talk about our integration, I want to talk about the Azure Log Analytics.
Okay.
That's a product that Azure has. And so the promise of Log Analytics is that you are able to sort of monitor your Azure resources with it, right? So instead of every service in Azure going and building their monitoring solution, this is a great way for all of us to come together and emit our logs and metrics to this one service so that our customers can consume it.
Kind of a one-stop shop for gathering all the logs and information from all your clusters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so and the good thing that they do is that when they ingest, they index the logs and metrics. And so once it is indexed, it's so easy to find.
Yep.
It's so easy to reason about, right? So if you think about just from a Hadoop perspective, Hadoop space perspective, right? We are not providing a point solution to our customers. It's a broad platform. People build streaming applications. People build data warehousing applications. People build all kind of applications. And then we wanted to have a flexibility where our customer go and define their own dashboards,
mm-hmm.
define their own monitoring scenarios, because no one solution that we're going to be providing will be enough for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So that was the fundamental principle. And they provide the customization of visualization, adding your own visualization. And so that's great. And the last thing is that even if you build all these dashboards, nobody stares them all day long.
Yeah,
you need to have a good alerting story. When a particular condition happens, you could trigger an email, or you could have a sort of integration with the existing alerting system that you have within your organization. Right. So that's the that was the cool part that that we liked. And last one is that it's a PaaS service.
Yeah.
So nothing that you need to manage. You know, no servers for monitoring. You need to manage, right? And so this is our vision, right? So think about a big data service, you know, that has is the insight, but it also uses SQL, right? Or it also uses virtual machines for some other aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question becomes, how do you monitor all of this infrastructure end to end? And so this was our kind of vision in terms of, you know, SD Insight is a part of it, but then, you know, it's a much bigger picture in terms of what you need to do. And so from there on, what we did, we kind of built a very specific solution for our SD Insight workload. So, you know, so there is a solution for Hadoop, Interactive Hive, which is the new cluster type that we have, HBase, Spark, Kafka, and whatnot.
Yeah.
But this is not it. Customers can go and build their own dashboard. They can customize any one of these dashboards, and that's what we're going to
do. Yeah, this is right through the Azure portal, correct?
Yes.
Where's this data coming? And I'll probably save this question for later, the second part of this question, but where's the data coming from for that? I mean, we're gathering that. Is that being stored in, like, Azure JLake Store, Azure Blob Storage, things like that, or where's it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So there are two questions. So how are we collecting the data from the clusters?
Yep.
What data are we collecting, and where it gets stored at the end of the day, right?
And so if you're going to get to that later, we can table that.
No, I think that's a great question. We can definitely talk about that.
Okay.
That's the thing that I was planning to talk anyways. So the log analytics service has an agent called the OMS agent.
Yep.
It's basically built on top of FluentD, which is open source agent for collecting logs and metrics. And so what we do is that when you say that, hey, I need my cluster to be monitored with OMS, we go ahead and install that agent into each and every node of the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that we do. Now, this agent has a plugin model, and you could use number of different plugins to collect different type of data. So the one good example is the log data.
Yeah.
Let's say there is a Hive log, right? And so we use a plugin called Tail plugin. And what this plugin helps us is we look at the tail of that log, and any new data that comes, we send it out to the service.
Okay,
so that's one. The other kind of plugin that we use is called curl plugin, exact
curl.
Plugin.
Yep, yep.
And so you can actually run any arbitrary command in there.
Yeah.
And so for some of the metrics related work where we might need to ping a port within the machine to get those GMX metrics from an individual big data service, we do that. And then we collect those. Usually it's a very verbose JSON, so we've format it very nicely for you to consume, and then we send it across.
Okay.
And then apart from that, there are the VM level metrics such as memory, CPU, syslogs, and all of that. So those are the category of data that we collect.
Okay.
And now this data gets pushed to the OMS, right? Yeah. And they have their own storage.
Okay.
But all of this data get indexed at ingestion.
Okay.
So that it's kind of level. It's kind of easy.
Okay.
So from an SD Insight perspective, there are two steps, right? One is connecting your cluster to the log analytics workspace.
Yep.
And then second is once you have the workspace, then if you decide to go with one of the views that we provide on top of that data, then you can go to the OMS gallery and just install that.
Just install, okay.
If you don't like it, you're welcome to build your own.
Okay.
So that's very flexible. So let's get into a little bit of a demo. We kind of talked quite a bit. All right. So here is one of the SD Insight cluster. In this case, it's an HBase cluster, but it could be Hive cluster, Interactive Hive, right. Spark, and whatnot, right? Now, there is something called monitoring. So you're going to click on this monitoring. And then you want to say whether you want to enable that monitoring or not.
Okay, yep.
So you can enable. And then you can pick up a workspace. In my case, I have this Airlift Ashish TH workspace.
Mm-hmm.
This is a log analytics workspace where your data will be sent.
Oh, right? I see. Okay, yep.
And then you save it. Now, there may be a scenario where your cluster may be across different subscriptions, right? But you may want to monitor them within a monitoring subscription, right?
Yeah.
And so in that case, you may not see this drop-down populating all those subscriptions because you may not have permissions and whatnot, right? In that case, we also allow you to provide your workspace ID and a key manually. So that so that you're not stuck within a one subscription, right?
Gotcha,
you can aggregate this data across, let's say, 100 different subscriptions, and you are able to do it.
Okay, yeah.
But then, so let's, let's in this case, let's pick up this airlift monitoring and click save.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, agent is getting installed. And
on all the nodes in the cluster.
All the node of the cluster. Now, the good thing about this architecture is that it is a headless architecture. So all of these nodes with the metadata attached in terms of the cluster name and a cluster type and few other information are sending this data directly to the service.
Okay.
So let's think about a scenario where you may have a 500 node cluster. And so these 500 nodes are independently sending that data to the service as opposed to a centralized service maybe running on a head node or a...
Yeah, and collecting all of it and then
Yeah, we're not doing that. And that's because of the scale region, because if we did that, then there'll be so much traffic within the cluster, and it'll impact the performance.
Yep.
But anyway, so it's going to set up in a minute, and all of data will flow into the log analytics.
Yep, within
that. Now, we did it with Portal, but we have a PowerShell SDK. You can enable it. All the good Azure ways.
So
in the log analytics, as you can see, we have lots of views for one for HBase, Spark, our Hadoop clusters, and whatnot. So the way you get those views, you go to the OMS gallery, and so we have published some of these views out there. So for example, HBase one is right here. So if you click on it. If you don't have it installed, you're going to see an add button. I have it, so I'm going to see view. Similarly, you can install like your Spark, Hive, and all of those views.
I was going to ask you how you actually add those to your, your dashboard.
Yes. So now once you have it, and then we can look at, one of the Spark ones. And it will have some information such as how many unhealthy nodes you have, how many active nodes running in each clusters. Apps pending, how many apps running, how many completed. The information that you would expect from a Spark dashboard. Then we have the raw VM level metrics, such as CPU time, available memory, logical disk write. And there are so many others that we have not put on a front page, but you could always get to all of those.
Cool.
And then the Spark logs, right? The popular logs such as driver logs, executor logs, Livy logs, the yarn logs and whatnot, you can get to those right from here.
Okay.
But I'm going to go back to a fundamental question of how do you even think about troubleshooting something with this, right?
Yeah.
Dashboards are great. And let's say there is some error happen within your big data thing. Somebody told you, hey, here is the, I see some problem. And they gave you no information, right?
How are we going to troubleshoot the issue?
How do you even think about that?
Yeah.
And so, Log Analytics has this very nice feature, log search, freeform search. And so what happens? Whenever there is an error, then you get error messages, right?
Yeah.
Some component going to throw you some error message. So we're going to see it. Okay, so I can see all these components such as syslogs, Hive Metastore, all of these are throwing errors, right? Let's try to pinpoint in terms of where the error is happening and when.
Log, yeah.
Right? And then we're going to get into the
specific
log.
Error, yeah.
So then I'm going to count these errors, all right? By type. Let's do that. So now this is going to give me all of the components, those are throwing errors. So these are the components, right? So syslog always throws a lot of errors. I can see them here, right? But the next one is the Hive Metastore. Quite a bit of errors there. Then I'm also getting on my HBase side, there are some errors on HMaster. I have a Storm cluster. So the Nimbus is also throwing some errors. So it's bringing errors from
a lot of
whatever component and so many different clusters and whatnot, right? Now I know which one is throwing errors, but I want to know what time are they throwing errors and is there a correlation between them, right? And so I can do interval 10 minutes. So let me look at these errors at the 10-minute aggregated level, right? So now this is going to produce me a very nice graph that will tell me, okay, when the errors are happening, and I can see, you know, sometime there are more. And I'm gonna ignore the syslog, because syslog is always very verbose. So I'm gonna do select none. And let's look at some other errors. All right. And let's see if I see any patterns there. Okay, all right. So I can see that, you know, here some error are beginning to creep in, but what was this? Why was my Hive Interactive 2 having a lot of errors and then it got kind of fixed and whatnot, right?
Mm, yeah.
And so at least now you have a time window where you could kind of make sense in terms of what was that trigger point?
Start when to
was
narrow
the error
down,
not
yeah.
narrow down?
Yeah.
So let's actually go into this time window here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now what I want to do is I actually want to look at the error, actual error messages in terms of what's happening there. So instead of all this statical function, I just need a message. So I say select message. And then I'll drill down into Hive Server 2 Interactive and see what's happening there. So now we can see that you know, all of the sort of error messages. And again, these are coming from different components. So I can see Hive Metastore errors,
mm-hmm.
as well as errors coming on Interactive Hive, which is LLAP, right?
Yep.
And so there is a one error that talked about the unable to read table, you know, the deadline is null. And now I'm an actual error message and see what's going on there.
Yep.
And also see what's going on around this error message,
yep.
how other components are behaving. And so the troubleshooting becomes very easy.
Yep.
So this was a good example of how we think about log analytics and figure out where the issues are.
Cool.
One other thing that I want to show you is about, how about the metrics? Right?
Okay. Yep.
So that's the other piece. So I actually have a little query that I already wrote just to save the time. So in this case, we are switching the context to HBase. And all I want to know, let me remove this. So we are on an HBase cluster, and we want to know how much data are we writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question you ask.
Yeah.
And so I have two different clusters, and it's going to tell me, okay, this is the number of bytes I'm writing in total.
Okay.
But I want to know how I am writing them over a period of time.
Yep.
So again, I will loop them into 10-minute intervals and see which one is writing how much in a 10-minute interval. But if you see this statical function, I'm using average, right?
Yep.
Which is good number, but what I really want to know is that what is my, you know, the 90th percentile writes,
mm-hmm.
what are my min max writes? So I want to know all that information. Now, I have all of this right here. So instead of an average, I'm going to do write a couple of things. So I'm going to look at my max writes, and then I'm also going to write min writes. And then 95th percentile writes. So when you are troubleshooting, you know, the average is never good, right?
Right,
you need to know. How are you doing max? How are you doing on min?
Yeah.
And now you can see there is a chart that talks about for every single cluster, what is your average, or what is your max, what is your min, what is your 95th percentile.
Right.
And so the analysis you can do on these metrics is amazing.
Okay.
It's not easy. So so we talked about log analytics. We talked about metrics.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that I want to talk about is how should we think about alerting, right?
Yep.
Let's say...
Because you can cook this stuff all day long.
All day long.
I have my proactive about this, right?
So so this thing is running. Let's say you're running this thing in a production, and a failure condition is met. You want to be woken up in the night, right?
Yeah.
How do you kind of think about that? So again, let's look at this scenario, the same scenario, right? So what I want is that when my ingestion, that's a written byte, right, falls to zero, like let's say there is a problem. I'm expecting something to be written always to my HBase, and it's not writing anymore. So let's say this thing is less than 10 bytes, Okay, mm-hmm. Let's make that up. I want to be woken up. What's happening?
Why am I not getting any data? Yeah.
Why I would not get any data? So I'm just going to run that query. So here it is. You know, on the condition of write by equals to less than 10, mm-hmm. and these are all my metrics coming from region server write head log, right?
Yep.
So there are plenty of them. I want to get an email.
Okay.
So I click on this alert, and then I say low writes. All right, that's the name of mm-hmm. my alert. And then I'll write some description so that the person who's getting it know what to do with this alert. So change settings in Ambari. I'm just making this up, but you should write a very detailed troubleshooting guide for the people who are getting it.
For the sake of time,
So it's a critical warning. And so if it happens within 15 minutes, and number of results are greater than 1, then I want to be notified over the email, right?
Yep.
They also have a webhook integration. So let's say you could post this message to an endpoint and you could do something about it.
You could
do that. Or you can run an Azure runbook. So
if
you feel really, really good about your metrics and you know the failure condition is genuine, you can write an automation runbook that would do a remedial action and whatnot. And once you save it, you are sort of good to go, and that alert would fire for you, right?
Cool.
Now, let's go back to the PowerPoint. Now, one of the questions a lot of customers ask is, how is this sort of architected, and what if I need to extend it? So I want to sort of talk about the things that we talked at the beginning, right? So we push this agent down to every single node in the cluster. And then we also send a node-specific configuration file, right? So if it is an edge-based cluster, then we're going to send a very different configuration file than if it is a Spark cluster, right?
Yep.
And that configuration file contains information in terms of what data needs to be collected from the cluster.
Yeah.
So those are the plugins that I talked about. All of those are kind of defined in these pieces. And so the way they kind of look like, I talked about this tail plugin. So in this case, I'm using a plugin. This is how that configuration file would kind of look like, right? And so I'm using a plugin called tail plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the tail of a Hive Metastore log, right? Once I extract that log, then I decorate it in a sense that I do regex match and I extract out the date and time, the log level, so that it's easier for me to index or to do the analysis on the services side. And then I send it out, right? It's very simple. This is the example of a exec plugin where I'm using arbitrary curl command to look for the JMX metrics on a port and then sending that out, right? And this is the alert that we talked about. Now, there would be a scenario where you would say that, hey, the logs that you guys are collecting or the metrics you guys are collecting are not enough for me. I need more. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a custom application running along with this thing, and I want to be able to send all of those logs and metrics along with the SD Insight metrics and whatnot.
Right.
So you can go ahead and push down your own configuration file exactly like this and tell the agent what you want to collect there. Just restart the agent after that, and you're good to go, and you're gonna see all of that. But this is very important because no two big data pipelines are same.
Right.
You know, they are different, and we allow a lot of customization. So there is a way for folks to write their own customizations and whatnot. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I have a follow up question based on. Because you're collecting all this data and these logs, and you're being stored in the service, and you showed how to add the different tiles of the dashboard to see right. Someone's going to ask. Hopefully, it's not just me that's asking this, but can I say, hey, is this data available? Maybe that I want to put a Power BI dashboard on top of this data, type of thing, right?
Yeah, that's a great question because. If you think about this dashboard, right, who's going to use it, right?
Yeah.
So uh, if once you have your application in production,
yep.
that's how you're going to monitor it.
Sure.
But it is also very important for you to show some of the metrics to, you know, the your leadership who yep. may be, you know, more used to the Power BI.
Yeah.
So the OMS has a direct integration with the Power BI.
Okay.
So you can have a refresh schedule of 15 minutes and whatnot, and the
okay.
The dashboard that that that.
Okay. So the Power BI's got OMS.
Yes.
Okay.
That, yes.
Yeah. Because that's you really got to back up and go, okay, who's looking at the data and who yes. really needs to see the data, right? Is my management chain on up going to be interested in yeah. kind of what's going on? But, you know, maybe there's some people that are like, what is the history and from a cost perspective, things yes. like, or, you know, whatever, right? Just thinking outside the box. But,
yes.
you know, if you talked about it in a kind of an extensibility perspective. So
yeah.
that's kind of.
Yeah, that's out of the box feature.
Yeah,
yes,
cool.
That's great.
Awesome. Ashish, thank you very much. This
You're
was,
welcome.
This was very good. I love the ability to, because I think you, one of the topics you hit was, like I'm monitoring not just, you know, we think about, okay, I'm just going to spin up an HD Insight cluster or I might just spin up a Spark cluster, but I may have multiple of those or a range of Spark and HD Insight and HBase and things like that, right? How do I gather all this data from all of those?
Yes. Okay. How do you troubleshoot a job after a cluster is deleted?
Yeah, right? Well, that, and that was my next question, right? Because we spin these things up, but we tear them down. How do we, you know?
Yes.
Because if the issue existed, you know, before, it might exist again when I spin it up again, right?
Yes.
So how do I troubleshoot this, right?
Yes.
So that's love the information. It's awesome. So, hey, thanks for coming, everybody. We look forward. We'd love to have you back to talk about more about this, maybe more detail. That'd
Absolutely.
Be awesome.
Cool. Yes. Great. Thanks.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.